Turning in our Bibles to Psalm 1. We're going to read Psalm 1 together, please. And the Word of God says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Amen. We finish there at the end of the psalm, knowing God will bless his word to our hearts again this evening. Now, as we read Psalm 1, and Psalm 1 is not one that has an author or a human author attributed to it. We don't find a human author attributed to any psalm until Psalm 3, as we looked at a few weeks ago. But we know that the Spirit of God inspired the writing of this psalm. And whenever you read Psalm 1, it becomes very apparent very quickly that there is a stark contrast which is set between the first three verses and the last three verses. The opening section that we have read this evening begins with the word blessed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. It outlines for us the blessing of God upon those who place their trust in him. Whenever you come to verse 4, it's almost like a second introduction, because it begins again with a statement about a different people. It says the ungodly are not so. The Bible uses very clear terms, very stark language at times. And in this psalm, we find this word ungodly mentioned on a number of occasions. In fact, we find it in verse 1. We find it in verse 4, verse 5, and verse 6. There's no way, whenever we come to read this psalm, that there can be any confusion regarding the difference that there is between those who know the Lord, those who follow the Lord, those who have trusted in the Lord, and those who don't know the Lord, those who are described as the ungodly. Now, for those of us who are here tonight, and I know that the majority, or I believe that the vast majority of those who are gathered this evening are those who are described in the opening three verses, described as the one that walks with the Lord, whose delight is in the law of the Lord. In the Lord's law, we meditate day and night. We are those who have trusted in God. We are those who have placed our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. But for those who are found described in the first three verses, what does it say to us about verse 4, verse 5, and verse 6 when we read them? What does it cause to come into our thoughts? How do we think about these verses? Because we're those who are trusting in God's salvation. We're rejoicing in our salvation. We're those who are described as blessed. We're enjoying the blessings of God's salvation. But yet this psalm speaks about those who don't. And we, as those who are redeemed, must be conscious of those who are not. We must be conscious of those that the Bible describes as ungodly. That's one of the reasons, that's the primary reason why we seek to declare and faithfully preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible shows us the difference. The difference is clear. There's a difference that exists in life, and there's a difference that exists in eternity for those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Warren Wiersbe, the commentator writing about this psalm, said that these are the people the godly must seek to reach with the gospel. And that is the case. That is the case for us tonight. That is the case for us every day of our lives, for those of us who are saved. Just this past week in this fellowship, we have heard of, on two occasions, about those who have gone to serve the Lord, to declare the gospel in foreign lands, to preach Christ, and to enable the preaching of Christ by their service and by their ministry. And those works are vital. And we praise God for those who leave this land and go to other places to declare the gospel. But when we come here tonight and we're seated in Ballymena, there is a need. There is a need for the gospel. There is a need to declare the gospel. There is a need to live the gospel. There is a need to preach the gospel. We have the unsaved in our towns and in our villages. We have the unsaved all around us. Perhaps we have the unsaved in our homes. Maybe even tonight in our meeting this evening, there are those who haven't trusted in Christ as their Savior. You might not like this description, but the Bible is very clear when he sets this contrast and he divides people into two groups. We talked about John this morning and how he set contrasts in his gospel and in his writings. Well, the Word of God sets contrasts the whole way through. And here we have a contrast between the godly and the ungodly. The question tonight that we must answer is this: does this word, ungodly, describe your standing before God? I want us to think about these verses tonight. Verse 4, verse 5, and verse 6 are three things I want us to notice this evening from these verses. I want you to see, first of all, in verse 4, that the ungodly have no strength. The ungodly have no strength. What does it say in verse 4? Now, it says the ungodly are not so. So we understand, because it says the ungodly are not so, that it's referring back to the previous section. It says the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Verse 3 says about the godly, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Verse 4 says the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The psalmist, speaking about the ungodly, says they have no strength in themselves. They have no security in themselves because they are rooted in nothing except their own sinful nature. They're not rooted in Christ, not grounded in the work of Christ, not grounded in what Christ has done. The Holy Spirit, as he has inspired the author here to write these words, is painting a full picture through comparison. There's nothing hidden here. Everything's out in the open. Everything is declared. There's security which is available to the child of God. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, one who is secure. But the ungodly are not so. We have security tonight if we're in Christ. We know that we have a home in heaven. We know that we have a hope which is eternal, a life which is secure. That's been given to us because we've trusted in Christ. It's been granted to us because we have come and we have realized our ungodly nature, our sin nature. We have realized, we have come and we have placed our hope and trust in another, and that other is Christ Jesus. And he's the one who gives us our strength. He's the one who gives us our security. We don't have it ourselves. We are planted. We're planted in him. We're secured by him. But in the original language here, when you come to verse 4, there's something that's very important for us to understand. This could almost be seen as a double emphasis, because while our Bible says the ungodly are not so, in the original language, there's a double emphasis. It literally could be translated like this: not so the ungodly, not so. So the emphasis is very clear that there is no strength, there is no security for the ungodly, for those who don't know the Lord. They have no security, no strength to stand. And therefore, life just casts them about, throws them about. Whenever we put this into the context of the personal life, we have to understand that even for those of us who are saved, while we face challenges in life, while we face difficulties, while at times we feel like we're being pulled from pillar to post, as it were, we have security in Christ. We have a hope in Him because we've been planted and we have been secured. But without the strengthening power of the Holy Spirit, without the guiding and the leading of the Holy Spirit, which is granted to the child of God at the point of salvation, we would be lost. But the unsaved don't have that. The unsaved don't have that security. The unsaved have no strength. The unsaved person is subject to pressures brought to bear by the world, by the flesh, by the devil, by all of the temptations that can come, by all of the peer pressure that comes, by the sin that rises up within the heart. And there's little capacity within the ungodly to be restrained from those pressures. Why? Because the ungodly are not planted. They have no strength. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Sometimes we sing about the anchor that keeps the soul. And we have an anchor if we're saved tonight. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. What's it fastened to? It's fastened to Christ. We are held by Him. One preacher put it like this: the unsaved person is at the mercy of forces which they do not see and which they cannot control. Do you know, we're about to enter into another spell of cold and icy weather. There's weather warnings for the next couple of days, and snow apparently, and all sorts of things. And that reminded me, as I was thinking about this, of a weather warning that occurred a few years ago in the UK, south coast of England, and it was particularly focused upon the port in Dover. And there was a weather warning with regard to high winds during the winter. And that port in Dover had to bring additional security measures into place because of those winds. If they hadn't have brought in the additional measures, if they hadn't have monitored strictly what was happening in the port, and they were controlling everything, they were adding additional restraints to the boats that were docked, they were being carried about by the winds. But if one of those ships wasn't in the port, if one of those ships was on its way to the port and it lost power while out in the heavy seas, perhaps engine failure, or perhaps damage even caused by the winds, there was nothing that could be done to control that ship. Nothing. The winds would take control and would force the ship towards danger. And that's what sin does in the life of the ungodly. Sin will take us further away from God. Sin will take you further away from God. The devil will put temptation in your way to take you away from God. And without the power that can only come from knowing the Lord, without the power that can only come from being placed in Christ, from being rooted and planted, there is no strength to stand, and you have no security for living, and no security for eternity. As friend, tonight, that only comes through salvation. It only comes through Christ. It only comes through knowing Him. The Lord Jesus Christ, He left heaven, and He came to this earth, and He came with a very specific reason, with one purpose. And that purpose was to go to a cross. That purpose was to provide the way of salvation for fallen man. And as I said this morning at the Lord's table, His death was sufficient for all. It's sufficient to those who believe, but sufficient for all. His sacrifice was for you tonight. He went to the cross, He died on that cross so that you could go free. Do you know Him as your Savior? Have you been redeemed? Have you been planted? Or are you still trying to stand in your own strength? And you have no strength at all. The ungodly are not so. They have no strength. But I want you to see, secondly, the ungodly have no standing. Look at verse 5. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Now, whenever we think about this, when we come to what we see in this verse, the psalmist here, inspired by the Holy Spirit, brings us to the courtroom. Brings us now to the judgment. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. And in a sense, what we have here is that the psalmist brings us right to Revelation chapter 20. He brings us to Revelation 20 and verse 11. And here we read these words. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. John, as he was on that Isle of Patmos, and the Lord revealed these things to him by his Spirit, he says, I saw a great white throne. He saw the throne of judgment. The throne of judgment for the lost. The throne of judgment for the wicked. The throne of judgment for those who the psalmist describes as the ungodly. Didn't just see the throne, he saw the Lord on the throne. He saw the judge. The righteous judge. The perfect judge. And the prophetic words of the psalmist that we have read here, they ring true, not just at the time they were written. They didn't ring just true whenever John had that vision on the Isle of Patmos, which is recorded for us. They ring true today. They ring true tonight. There is a final judgment. And that final judgment is coming for sin. And the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. There is no standing before a holy God for those who don't know Jesus Christ. We don't have, those who are lost, they don't have an excuse that they can come with. And perhaps even tonight you're here and you're thinking, but I don't think I'm ungodly. Maybe you're listening online. You're saying, who does he think he is to call me ungodly? The Bible is what we're reading here. It's the Word of God. Maybe you think you're not ungodly. But if you've never sought God's forgiveness, you'll stand before the judgment. You'll stand at that great white throne. And the judge of all the earth shall do right. And those who are not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. Notice there in Revelation 20 and verse 11, at the time of judgment, what does it say? It says, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Listen, there's many living today, and they're living for what they have. Living for the things of this world, living for wealth, living for pleasures, living for possessions, whatever those things might be. When you come before the great white throne, heaven and earth has fled away. All those things are gone. There's no place found for them before that great white throne. And you'll be there if you've never trusted in Christ. And you'll not take one thing with you. You'll come before a holy God with empty hands and your sin. You can't bring your wealth and say to God, look what I accumulated. You can't bring your good works and say to God, look what I did. You can't bring your church attendance and say, look where I went. All you can do is come before a holy God who will judge you and who will say, depart from me. It will be just you and the judge. And the psalmist tells us that there is no standing in the judgment for the ungodly. The sentence will be clear. Guilty. The stories told of Queen Elizabeth I, who reigned over England and for over 45 years, and she was very successful as a queen, and she secured many victories for Britain, and her military secured victories in one thing than another. But when Queen Elizabeth I was dying, it was said that in her ill health, as she knew her time was short, she was seated upon her throne, and she was gripping onto the side of the throne and desperately pleading with her doctor, desperately pleading with her advisors that she wouldn't die. And it said that Queen Elizabeth I's last words were these: "All my possessions for a moment of time. All my possessions for a moment of time." But there were no more moments, because death had come. Friend, tonight, if death was to come for you, what would your standing be? Where would you be? Would it be in Christ, secure for all of eternity? Or would you have no standing before a just and a holy God? Which will it be tonight? The ungodly have no strength. The ungodly have no standing. Look with me at verse 6. The ungodly have no salvation. "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." The psalmist finishes here in a sense with a very clear picture, as it were, of the gospel. Because he speaks here about two ways. He speaks about the way of the righteous, and he speaks about the way of the ungodly. The way of the righteous is the way that leads unto life. The way of the ungodly, well, the ungodly shall perish. The way of the righteous is the way of the cross. Lord Jesus Christ, we spoke about it and we read about it in John chapter 14. He said, we know the words so well, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He is the way. He's the only way. There's no other way. There's no other possibility that we might find a path where we can sneak our way into heaven because we attend a church or because we did good works or whatever it might be. That's just not possible. There are only two ways: the way of the righteous and the way of the ungodly. And Christ is the way of the righteous. Listen, folks, tonight. The Lord knows those who are His. He knows His people. Those who have come and in simple faith have trusted in Christ for salvation, who have come and confessed their sin, come and acknowledged their need, come and bowed before Him, and He has saved them. He has become for them the way. But the other side of that same fact, the fact that the Lord knows them that are His, there's two sides to that, because He knows them that are not. He knows those who have rejected Him. He knows those who are not recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Revelation 21 and verse 27, the Word of God says, "There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Who populates heaven? Those who have trusted in Christ. The way of the ungodly shall perish. How do we be fitted to be in the way of the righteous? Well, we've said it already. You come through the Lord Jesus Christ. You come by His way. You come through His work. You come confessing your need. You come acknowledging His salvation. In Matthew 7 and 13, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." the narrow way, the way of the cross. Hymn writer penned it. He said, the way of the cross leads home. We read it already in Revelation 20 and verse 15. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There is no salvation for those who remain in their sin. There is no salvation for the ungodly. There is no second chance after death. There is no hope that at some point in time God will change his mind. He won't. He's made one way. He's given you opportunity. You have heard the gospel. And you make your choice. Friend, tonight there is hope, and there's hope now. There's hope because of what Christ did at Calvary. There's hope that you can have life because this is still a day of grace. There's hope because he loved you and he went to the cross for you. There's hope. But if you reject him, if you deny him, if you refuse him, make no mistake about it, your eternity will be a fearful one. Because the way of the ungodly shall perish. You'll be cast into hell. Cast into the lake of fire for eternity. And listen, you'll be there for one reason and one reason only. Because you chose your sin. And you rejected Christ. You'll be there because of your sin. So what is your choice? What is your choice tonight? Is it heaven? Is it hell? Is it death or is it life? Is it the way of the righteous or is it the way of the ungodly? You make your choice. And you know the truth. You know your responsibility. And you know the outcome of your choice. And you know that God has made a way of salvation. Will you continue in the way of the ungodly? Or will you come to Christ and enter into the way of the righteous through his finished work at the cross? I trust tonight that you'll come to him